We're going to talk a little bit about the statement that Reish Lakish just made, that when you have a clash, a conflict between a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh, if you're able to fulfill both of them, then go ahead and fulfill. And if you're not, so then let the saseh be docha the lo saseh. So we're going to talk a little bit about that statement, and we want to situate the statement in the context of a broader understanding of this concept that asay is doche lo sasay. And Stephen has a copy for you. And we want to situate this statement in the broader context. And so that leads us to a very fundamental dispute about the nature, the essence of mitzvos asay and mitzvos lo sasay in general. Oh, thank you so much. If you look at the first source, it's a Gemara in Yevamos. And the Gemara says, it's possible that when we say asay docha lo sasay, that's only when we're dealing with a regular lo sasay. A normal mitzvah lo sasay, the penalty of which is makos, will be displaced by a mitzvah sasay. That's what the Gemara says. Emar damina, let's say, that we'll say asay docha lo sasay, by a lotase greda, a lonely lotase. A lotase that's not augmented, right, by any modifications or fancy things. But lotase sheyeshbo karis, if the lotase is augmented by a karis penalty, perhaps mishamata le didachi, did you ever hear that an assay should be able to displace such a fancy lotase? And the Gemara answers, Hadar Amar, then they said, Atu asay doche es lo sasay. When an asay is doche a lo tasay, lav lo tasay chamur minei, isn't every lo tasay more serious than every mitzvah sasay? And still, because the asay v'dachile, the asay can displace it. So if it's already displacing something that is stronger than itself, mali chumra zuta, what difference does it make whether the lo tasay which it's displacing is a little stronger than it? Mali chumra rabba, what difference does it make whether it's very much stronger than it? In the end of the day, it ought to displace. So this line of the Gemara seems to establish that a mitzvah asay is weaker than a mitzvah lo tasay. A mitzvah asay is not as chamur, not as serious, not as severe, not as stringent as a mitzvah lo tasay. Now, this line of the Gemara does not necessarily reflect the maskana. We know that a lotasei, even though it could displace a regular lotasei, cannot displace a lotasei that's augmented by karis. And so we need to take this line a little bit with a grain of salt, because it was articulated in the context of an assumption which is ultimately rejected. But the line is on the books, and it actually is very logical. Right? What evidence can you bring to support the Gemara's thesis that every lo tasay is more chamur than every mitzvah sasay? You get malchus, right? There's penalties for violating lo sasays. There are no penalties or no equivalent penalties for violating mitzvah sasay, and that would seem to indicate that, if anything, God cares more, right, if you will, about mitzvah lo sasay than he does about mitzvah sasay. Mitzvah lo sasay are more chamur than mitzvah sasay. There's a karis penalty, but even if you look at the list of krisos, you'll discover, right, that 33 of the 35, right, are lotaseis, and 2, Pesach and Mila, are aseis. So it seems that as a whole, right, the lotaseis tend to be more chamur.
If someone says he doesn't want to do sukkah, then you hit him until...
Exactly, right, so that is true. If a person is a moraid, right, if he's rebelling, right, against the authority of mitzvos, so then we compel him, perhaps even with corporal... You know, punishment to fulfill those mitzvahs. Back in the days when there was a mitzvah police, you know, that had the authority to do that, and so that might be a little bit of a difficulty. But certainly, when it comes to post facto punishment, right, once the time has already passed, there are punishments for lotaseis, not for aseis, which might support the Gemara's assertion that lotaseis are more chamur. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva Eger on this Gemara points to a Ramban. The Ramban gives us an inverted hierarchy. The Ramban says that in actuality, a mitzvah sasay is stronger than a mitzvah lo sasay. And this is a Ramban that's very worth reading inside. He says, Emes hu gam kein, it's true, Kimidas Zachor. Zachor is not just the title of a famous book on Jewish history, but it's also the mitzvah saseh, right, of Shabbos. Zachor es Yom HaShabbos. And that is Ramzoi the mitzvah saseh. That represents mitzvah saseh in general. V'hu, and this... Because the Ramban appears in Shmos Parakof, which is the Aseret HaDibros. Zachor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kad Shoh is a line of Chumash that the Ramban is commenting on here. So he's saying, Zachor is, right, if I would have put the Dibra Maskil, but I wanted to fit everything on one page. So he's saying, Zachor is mitzvah saseh, and a mitzvah saseh is Yotzei Mimidat HaAhava. It comes from love. V'hu L'midat HaRachamim, from love and for mercy. And why is that? What's the association between mitzvat asei and love? Ha'oseh mitzvat Adonav ahuv lo, a person who fulfills God's commands is beloved to God. Ve'adonav mirachim alav, and that will inspire God's mercy on him. In contrast, says Ramban, midat shamor is b'mitzvat lo tasei. He shamer, pen, and al, lo, are all the words that introduce lo taseis. So shamor introduces a lo tasei. V'hu l'midat hadin. Right, that is not mercy, but justice. It's not love, but rather it's same midat hayira, from awe or from fear. Ki hanishmar me'asot davar hara be'enei Adonav. A person who's nervous, who's worried about not doing something that his master would consider to be wrong, is yarei oto. It stems from fear, right? If I love you, I'm going to run to make you happy. If I'm afraid of you, then I'm going to shiver and tremble lest I make you angry, right? The trembling, the precious, the not doing things comes from fear, but fear may not be enough to motivate me, to inspire me to do things for you. For that, I would require love, says Ramban. V'lachin, therefore, mitzvat asei, or mitzvot asei, gedola mi mitzvot lo taseh. That aseis are greater than lo taseis. Kimo sheha ahava gedola mi hayira. Just like love is greater than awe and fear. It's a higher, more exalted emotion to experience. Because a person who uses his energy and his money to fulfill God's will is gadol mi'anishmar mi'asot harab einav. He's greater than a person who simply lives his life as if halacha is an obstacle course. Right? A person could live life that way. I'm going to avoid this, I'm going to avoid that, and I'll do whatever I want with my remaining energy. But a person who's imbued with love of God will try to direct every single erg of energy, right, towards Avodas Hashem. That is a much more exalted emotion and a much more fulfilling manner of living life. V'lakach, he says, and that is why Chazal said, "Da'asi asei v'dachi lo tasei," that an asei will push aside a lo tasei, because an asei comes from love. U'mipnei zeh, this is why yihyeh ha'onesh b'mitzvat lo tasei gadol. That's why there are such large punishments for people who transgress lo taseis. It's not because that God cares more about lo taseis. God cares more about love than he cares about fear, right? But because love is something where you cannot compel, right? It's not, punishment and love don't mix. If a person doesn't display the love, so I'm not going to punish him for the failure to do that. So therefore, there is no onesh gadol for failure to perform mitzvah saseh. The osin bo din kegon malkos umisa, for lo taseis, we give malkos. For lo taseis, there can be a death penalty. But ein osin bo din b'mitzvah taseh klal, there is no post facto punishment for people who fail to fulfill mitzvah taseh zulat ela b'mordin, except for those people, right, who are rebelling, and they say, I'm not building the sukkah, I'm not taking the loaf, I'm eating matzah. So then, back in the day, perhaps there would be some sort of a compulsion, right? But other than that, you can't punish a person if they didn't display love, right? That's not going to bring them, right, to love. It's maybe just to do the opposite. So lola titzis iniosa suki iniosa shasen hajino yimakino tashi kabal love lasot. Oh, achetetsi nafsho. But the basic idea is that the reason that there's a punishment for lo taseis is not because they're more important, but because they're less important. They stem from din and from yira rather than from rachamim and from ahava. And so here we have two very, very different approaches to the relationship between aseis and lo taseis. The Gemara says that lo taseis are more chamur, and the Ramban says that the aseis are more important. And we'll see these two approaches inform two very different ways to understand aseh docha lo taseh. For the Ramban, aseh docha lo taseh is a very logical principle. The aseh is greater, and so the cost-benefit ratio would tell you that you sacrifice the lo taseh, which is the lower level, in order to gain the aseh, which is the higher level. In contrast, the Gemara, right, it's very perplexing. Why is it that we sacrifice a lo taseh, which is more chamor, in order to fulfill the assay with less chamur? So that brings us to the next source. So just what do we have here? This is going to be very complicated, so I need you to help me keep track of things. So we have our first source is, which is more chamur? What should I call it? Important, stringent, serious, more chamur? So we have, which is more chamur? One approach says that the assay is more chamur, and the other approach says that the lot assay is more chamur. Okay. So of these two approaches, the idea that assay docha los assay, right, fits best with this approach. Right. So I'm just going to do it like this. Assay, the ayin is for assay, the dalid is for docha, the lamed is for low, and the tough is for tasei. So asei, docha, lo tasei, that's how all of the secondary sources abbreviate it to spare themselves from writing out the whole thing. So if an asei is more chamur, so then this is logic, right? Logic already dictates that asei is docha, a lo tasei. If the lo tasei is more chamur, so then logic would not be sufficient, right? But we'll need something else. What would be the logical foil for logic? A pasuk, excellent. So we'll put down pasuk over here, and let's just see how that plays out. Now, I'll just warn you that as we go through the sources, we're going to encounter multiple contradictions within the Mishnat HaRamban. Meaning the Ramban will sometimes say things that are mutually exclusive of one another. I am not planning to address those contradictions right now. I'm going to pretend, right, as if I didn't know who's making all these statements. And perhaps if we, you know, at some later point, we can return and try to harmonize all the different things that the Ramban said. But for now, I'm going to pretend that I don't know that it's the Ramban who's making all these contradictory statements. So let's see, I quoted here from a secondary source that's dealing with this Ramban. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman has a series of very, very beautiful and classical essays on the idea of asei docha lo tasei. They're part of his broader work on Maseches Yevamos. And he starts out by quoting source number 3, Lidas HaRamban, Bechidush of Reish Parakama, according to the Ramban, in the beginning of the first parak of Yevamos, who says that ein asei docha los asei be'efshar l'kayim shneim. The Ramban is of the opinion that when it's possible to fulfill the asei and the lo tasei, both of them, so then you must fulfill both of them. You have no license to displace the lo tasei when you don't need to displace it. Now that's not the Ramban, right? That's Reish Lakish. Right, Reish Lakish says im efshar l'kayim shneim mutav. But the Ramban adds an interpretive twist to Reish Lakish, and he says hakavana de la'olam lo dachi, that this is a very broad statement. It's meant to be applied very, very broadly. Afilu im achshav lo efshar, even if right now, it is impossible for me to fulfill both the assay and the lo tasei. Because right now, let's say, what would be a good example? Right now, I do not have tcheles. And so, I can either put my white wool strings right, on a linen garment. I don't have any linen white strings. I've got wool white strings and a linen garment. So under my circumstances, I can either put the white wool strings on a linen garment and fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, or I could leave the white wool strings off the garment and fulfill, uphold kilayim, but neglect tzitzis. Under my circumstances, I do not have the option of fulfilling both the assay and the lot assay. If circumstances were different, if I somehow got techeles, or if I got linen white strings, then I would have the option of fulfilling both. But in front of me, right now, it is a stark choice between either the assay or the lot assay. Says the Ramban, the lot assay takes precedence. That's what he says. Afilu im achshav lo efshar. Even if right now, given the facts on the ground, I cannot fulfill both of them, but had this, had circumstances been different, I could have fulfilled both of them. So then we will not say asei dochalos asei kevon dimishkachas la sheyehei efshar, since there is a circumstance in which both the asei and the lot asei can be upheld. Rabbi Elchanan is troubled by this Ramban. He says, L'cha'ora eina muvenes. It seems that this Ramban is incomprehensible. D'ma b'kach de'yachol li'yot efshar. So what if in other circumstances it's possible to fulfill both of them? Mikol makom achshav lo efshar. Right now it is impossible to fulfill both. V'lama lo tidche asei lo tasei. So why is the asei not doche the lo tasei? He says, "Bishlama im efshar achshav lekayim shneiam." If right now I can fulfill both, ina doche, it's not going to put aside, because ina b'toras heter, b'toras techia. That it's not as if the lotasei's value is nil, is nothing. The lotasei is still worth something, and so when you can get two values, why not get both of them? Why get only one? But el diafino mikra dekach. Sorry, ve'ina techia el mepniha achreach. We only push one aside when we're compelled to, when there's a hechreach. But here, there is a hechreach, because I'm going to lose out on the mitzvah sasei if I uphold the lot sasei. So why does the Ramban say that if all I have is white wool strings and a linen garment, that the lot sasei takes precedence over the sasei? Says Rabbi Elchanan, v'nireh b'tam davar zeh. I think that the reason is as follows. It seems to me that the reason is such. The kevan demisvara. Because logic says that ein asei docha lo tasei, that an asei is less chamor than a lo tasei, and so they really should not. So how do we know? Can we avur b'gemara the lo tasei chamir me asei? Ela the yalfina mikra. We derive it from a pasuk. We derive it from a pasuk that asei is docha the lo tasei. Dekach mitna haasei. L'kayma afilu b'makom lo tasei, that the Torah says that the asei, right, when it conflicts with the lo tasei, will take precedence. Therefore, he says, b'makom d'lo efshar klal, when it's never possible to fulfill the asei and the lo tasei, kigon kimo b'tcheles b'beged pishtam, like tcheles on a linen garment, where the Torah says, or seems to say, or might say, that if you have a linen garment, you still have a mitzvah of tcheles, and the only way that you'll be able to ever fulfill tcheles on a linen garment is by pushing aside the lo tasei. So there, the fact that the Torah says that a linen garment needs tcheles should be understood, right, as the Torah is telling us that in this instance, the hierarchy is inverted, and the assay is more significant, more important, more chamor than the lo tasei. That's true when you have tcheles and a linen garment, where the Torah's pasuk tells me that it must be that techeles is more important than shatnez. However, so then we'll say ein lanu raya shenitna mitzvah lidchos lo sasei umishum haki lo dachi. But in a case, let's say, where I'm dealing only with white strings, is there a pasuk that tells me that white strings on a linen garment are more important than shatnez? There's a pasuk that tells me that techeles on a linen garment is more important than shatnez. Because if it wasn't more important, then the Torah would not have told me to put techeles on a linen garment. But there is no pasuk, says Rabbi Elchanan, which teaches me that white strings on a linen garment is more important than shatnez, because the Torah never told me put white strings on a linen garment. Right? The Torah just told me, put tzitzis, put blue strings. So the blue strings I know, right, that I can put on, but the tzitzis, if I'm only putting on white strings, then perhaps I need linen white strings. So says the Ramban, right, what should our third column over here be? We'll call it, what's the case? We could call it by the abstract name, which is Achshav lo efshar, right? Even though la'achar zman, it is efshar. Or we could give it the specific name of the case, right? Where I've got a linen garment and white wool strings. Right? Which one would you prefer that I put up here? I'll put up the specific case. So Rabbi Chanan tells us again, if the lo tasei is more chamor, we need a pasuk to teach me asei docha lo tasei. And when it comes to white wool strings on a linen garment, there is no such pasuk, and therefore, which will take precedence? Right, you would say no tzitzis.
He's talking chutei pishtim bebeged semer, not chutei pishtim bebeged pishtim.
Okay, if you prefer, we'll do it like that.
No. I'm trying to read what he's saying. He doesn't mention chutei pishtim bebeged pishtim.
No, chutei lava bebeged pishtim.
Chutei pishtim bebeged semer. Ein lanu raya shenitna hamitzvah lidchos lo tasei. Okay, it's right that he's talking. I think it's going to be the same logic will apply in each case, but we'll modify the case. We'll talk about a wool garment with white linen strings. Right, but again, the result will be no tzitzis. Rabbi Chanan elsewhere points out that if you take the first approach, that asei is more chamor, that is logical, but that when faced with a conflict between an asei and a lo tasei, cost-benefit analysis will indicate that you should choose the asei. So then in this case, right, you should put on tzitzis.
Well, we're saying no.
The Ramban says no, right, but the Ramban is argued on by the Rashba. So this opinion, yes, tzitzis is the Rashba, no tzitzis is the Ramban. Rabbi Chanan was simply saying the Rashba makes sense. Right? Asei docha lo tasei. The Ramban was hard to understand, but he invoked the Gemara in Yevamos that lo taseis are more chamor, the necessity of Gzeiras HaKasov for asei docha lo tasei, and in light of that framework, suddenly, right, the Ramban's opinion that in this case you should have no tzitzis begins to make sense. There is no Gzeiras HaKasov, right, to allow you to put white linen strings on a wool garment, and therefore we'll say that the lo tasei retains its natural and logical place of primacy, right, in this circumstance. Okay, so let's take a look a little bit further, because we have to ponder for a moment, what exactly did the Torah tell us about tzitzis and kilayim? Up until now, we're assuming that the Torah told us that a linen garment needs to have tcheles. Perhaps the Torah told us something a little bit more broad than that. So if you look at the next section of Rebbe Chanan, of the Kovetz Ha'aros, he tells you the following. He quotes a Shita Mikubetzes. And the Shita Mikubetzes in Menachos, but much earlier in Menachos, tells us that it is impossible to fulfill the mitzvah of tcheles without violating the iser of kilayim of shatnis. That's a gemara. The gemara says it is impossible to fulfill the mitzvah of tcheles without violating the mitzvah, the iser of shatnis. The Shita Mechubetzes challenges this Gemara. And it says, "What? Wait a second. It's impossible to fulfill the mitzvah of Tcheles? I can come up with a very good case where you'll fulfill the mitzvah of Tcheles. Have a wool garment and wool blue strings and wool white strings. You've got the mitzvah of Tcheles, you've got the mitzvah of Tzitzis without violating Kilayim. So why is it that we choose to view, right, there's a Gzeiras HaKasov, a special pasuk that says that you that Tzitzis is Docha Kilayim. Who says? Who says? Right, there's a mitzvah of Tzitzis, yes, that's with a wool garment, right, and wool Tcheles and wool white strings, and perhaps by a linen garment, there will not be any heter to be Docha. So the Shita Mikubetzes answers, right, take a look over here, reading onwards in Rabbi Chanan, he says, Mimasha Kasov Vishita, the Tarets, the Shita Mikubetzes answer to this question, and that is, Degam Kilayim Betzitzis Mitzvah Sobekach Beveget Pishtin. The Torah says that you need tzitzis for a wool garment, you need tzitzis for a linen garment, you need tcheles for a wool garment, you need tcheles for a linen garment. Oh, tcheles for a linen garment, it's impossible to fulfill that mitzvah of tcheles for a linen garment without saying, asei docha lo taasei. In Cain, he says, heyach yalfinon mizeh de asei docha lo taasei. How can we learn out from, he's assuming right now, that tcheles and kilayim are the paradigm from which we derive all other instances that asei is docha lo taasei. Says Rabbi Chanan, how can you do that? Maybe the only time that we'll say asei docha lo taasei is when it resembles tcheles and a linen garment. In other words, where it is impossible to fulfill both of them. If you're going to fulfill shatnez, if you're going to uphold shatnez, you'll never get tcheles by a linen garment, right? And if you get tcheles by the linen garment, so then you're always going to be defying or knocking down shatnez. How can we learn from there that a case where the two of them could potentially coexist, right, such as a case where, yes, right now they can't coexist, but maybe if I wait for circumstances to improve, I'll be able to fulfill both of them. Maybe I need to wait for the circumstances to improve. Heyek yalfina mizet, a regular case of asei docha lo taasei. And look at the two lines from the bottom, v'yesh lomar, says Rabbi Elchanan, v'yesh lomar, the Tevot Zeh Oziel Lishitas HaRamban. This answer that the Shita Mikubetzes offers, right, that tzitzis is mitzvato bekach, it's impossible, right, to, for its own, that informs the opinion of the Ramban. Dehecha de mishkakas lasha yehei afshar l'kayim shneim, lo dachi afilu im achshav eino afshar, that since, if the circumstances were right, you would be able to fulfill both of them, even though right now, it's impossible to fulfill both of them, but still, it's not going to be docha. Im kein gam ba'alma ina se docha lo tasei ela dumya de tal shal pishtim di I efter lekaima mitzvah b'shum inyan b'heter. So Rabbi Elchanan is adding on another chain, another link to this chain. What should I write over here? Write that. I think instead of writing pasuk over here, we should write what should I put over here? Instead of a pasuk, I have now a specific pasuk. Tcheles on a linen garment. So the pasuk, right, becomes the comparison to tcheles on a linen garment, where over there the Torah tells me that because if I uphold the Isser of Shatnez, I will never fulfill the mitzvah of Tcheles. Therefore, I have license to fulfill the mitzvah of Tcheles, even though it means failure to uphold Shatnez. So too everywhere else, where, if by upholding the Lo Taseh, I will never, ever, ever be able to fulfill the mitzvah Taseh, so there the mitzvah Taseh will push aside the Lo Taseh. However, right, in an instance where it is possible, theoretically, to uphold both of them, so I don't have this parallel. I don't have this parallel. Tzit Shatnez and Tcheles are impossible to coexist. If I uphold Shatnez, I'll never get Tcheles. You cannot compare that to other Lo Taseh, which don't stand eternally in the way of fulfillment of the mitzvah saseh, but only stand in the way of a mitzvah saseh in this limited local circumstance in which I find myself. So I can't learn that out from this source. That's why the Ramban will say that in the case of wool garment and all I have is white linen strings, the Ramban will say that I'd better uphold Shatnez and not fulfill tzitzis. Now, this is a little bit of the logical and scriptural background for this discussion. But a discussion of halacha needs to take place at multiple levels, not just at the level of logic, not just at the level of chumash, but also at the level of mishnayos, and also at the level of gemara. And so let's see how we can sort of pull this, not pull this, but the Rishonim HaKadoshim to make it explicit that they're dealing as well with evidence from the gemara. Let's take a look at what we have here. It's our Gemara, the one that we read yesterday, or last Thursday, and the one that we read today. Meseches Menachos. On the one hand, the Gemara says, Chutei Tzemer Potrin B'Shal Pishton. B'Shal Pishton Potrin B'Shal Tzemer. So I can have wool strings on a linen garment, linen strings on a wool garment, and chutei tzemer pishtim, wool and linen strings together, potrin b'chol makom v'afilu b'shirah, and even on a katan garment. Now, whose opinion does that support? Does that support the Ramban, who says that wool garment and white linen strings, that you don't put on tzitzis? Does that support the Rashba, who says that a wool garment and white linen strings you do put on tzitzis? The Gemara here says, chutei tzemer potrin b'shal pishton. Chutei pishton potrin B'shal Tzemer. Is that the Ramban or is that the Rashba? It's the Rashba, right? The Gemara sounds like it's saying that I can put linen strings on a wool garment and wool strings on a linen garment. The Gemara makes no reference, right, makes no qualification that this only applies to Tcheles. After all, you'll never find linen Tcheles. And the Gemara says you can put linen strings on a wool garment. So obviously, the heter, right, of putting linen and wool together for tzitzis is more broad than simply putting tcheles onto a linen garment. So how is the Ramban going to contend, right, with this Gemara? But it's not just the Ramban, right? Because the Gemara that we read today, im efshar lekayim shneim mutav, is naturally contradictory to this statement. How can the Gemara permit me to put linen strings on a wool garment when I could put wool strings on a wool garment? How can the Gemara say I'm allowed, right, to just push aside the Isser of Kilayim when I can fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis perfectly without violating the Isser of Kilayim? So this leads to a major, major machlokas. There are four answers, at least, that the Rishonim offer to this question. Depending on which answer you give, you'll end up either concluding like the Ramban or concluding like the Rashba. So let's take a look for a second. Tosfos, in source number 5, tell us, Sadin b'tzitzis b'shamei arpoter. Oh, I'm going to skip down to where I have labeled Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Right, inside of source number 5, I've got three answers of Tosfos, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Right, if you look at one line above, right after the ellipsis, so Tosfos says, Kevan de efshar b'minon, that's, you can't put white strings and faux tcheles strings on a linen garment, right, because you could just put linen strings, so you can't put white wool strings, because it's after Rabbi Mina, and Rish Lakish says, whenever you can fulfill both, you should fulfill both. So Tosfos says, Le'el, earlier, the Masikna, the Chutei Pishtan Potrin, Bishal Tzemer, we concluded that you can put linen strings on a wool garment, so what's the difference, linen strings on a wool garment, as opposed to wool strings on a linen garment, it should all be the same. So Tosfos says, one, Hainu Be'adei Techeles, that's only when we've got Techeles. Because there we'll say Migo, the Techeles Patar Bishal Pishtan, right, since the Techeles exempts, right, the Pishtan garment, so Lava Nami Patar, you can put, you've got a linen garment with wool Techeles strings, so you've got a mixture anyhow, so put on the other two strings, whatever material you want, or you've got a wool garment with wool Techeles strings, but you could put on linen white strings because of this Migo, that the Torah tells us that when tzitzis are composed of Techeles and of Lavan, so it's almost as if the Lavan are Tafel, they lose their identity in the Techeles, they lose not only their color identity, but also their material identity. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying. You can have linen and wool in the tzitzis, provided that the wool is dyed with the true Techeles dye. Yeah. In fact, according to some, that's the ideal tzitzis. That the contrast is not just a contrast between colors, but also a contrast between materials. So Tosa says, number one, perhaps the resolution is, with Techeles, then you can have Kilayim, because of this Migo, and without Techeles, so then we say, Im Efshar L'Kayim Shneim Mutav. Answer number two, he says, by the Beis, Inami.
Number one says, since you already allowed to do Techeles on a wool garment, so you can mix even strings of Techeles and Kishil together as the ticket itself, because you already have Kilayim. So it makes a difference if you have one Kilayim or two Kilayim.
I know, so but Rav Menachem is going to answer back, right, that if you have a wool garment and wool Techeles, so you don't have Kilayim. Right, the Tosfos is, by invoking this Migo, is saying something beyond that. So you've stumbled, not stumbled, you have deliberately arrived at a very, very difficult question. I remember when Yeshiva was learning Yevamos that we spent tens of hours in Beis Medrash trying to understand what this Migo of Tosfos means. And remember that it wasn't just when we were learning Yevamos, we revisited it the next year because we didn't come to a satisfactory conclusion the first time. And what I'm saying right now is what I consider to be the simplest, although not necessarily the most accurate answer, or the simplest but not necessarily the most accurate interpretation, and that is that the Techeles is the Ikar, the Lavan is a Tafel, and therefore the white strings lose their identity, right, to the Techeles strings. Right, but that's only true if you have Techeles strings. If the Techeles strings are wool, so then the white strings, regardless of whether they're wool or whether they're linen, lose their identity to the Techeles strings. So you could have a wool garment and wool Techeles strings, and the linen white strings are immaterial because they lose their identity to the Techeles strings. Again, that I'm just going to say for the time being. There are other interpretations. But moving on, second answer of Tosfos. Inami says Tosfos. Midioraisa Sharye. Midioraisa, you can really put on four white wool strings on a linen garment. And it's mutter, because the Torah tells me that tzitzis is docha kilayim. As long as I'm in fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis, I don't have to worry about transgressing the issur of kilayim. But Rabbanan hu degazor, the rabbi said that if I've got all of the white strings, so I should not put on kilayim, because after lekayim shneim, because I could fulfill both of them. But midiraisa, I do not need to fulfill both of them. Midiraisa, any time that I'm in fulfillment of tzitzis, I don't have to worry about kilayim. And finally, answer number three that Tosfos gives is inami maskana lo kaimahachi, that even though originally we thought, right, one way, the maskana is the other way. Originally we thought that you could put linen strings on a wool garment, But when we arrive at Rish Lakish, who says im efshar lekayim shneim mutav, so then we change our mind and we say that you cannot put linen strings on a wool garment. So if I have to put down the next thing here on our list, I would say just for the purposes of time, I'm just going to write contradiction, right, between Reish Lakish, right, and the earlier Gemara on Daf Lamed Tesa Mabez. And to this, the Ramban will answer that it's an argument, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas, and we paskin that you cannot put linen strings on a wool garment, because you could always, you even though right now you may not have wool strings, but it's possible at some point to have wool strings. But the Rashba has a fourth answer, which is not in Tosfos. And the Rashba's answer is, he says, Reish Lakish is talking about a case where you have linen strings available and you have wool strings available, and therefore there is no heter to choose linen strings for a wool garment when you can just as easily choose wool strings. The Gemara earlier, which says that you have license to put linen strings on a wool garment, is talking about where the only strings available are linen strings. So then, since you, in your local circumstance, are faced with a choice between the Aseh of Tzitzis and the Lot Aseh of Shatnez, that's where the Gemara says, of course, you should choose the Aseh of Tzitzis. So for the Rashba, right, it's not a machlokes, right, but rather, right, when both are available, that's one case, as opposed to only one available.
It's tolerated, but it's not preferable, in other words.
Exactly. So if you have any other choice, you'll do the other choice. But if you have no other choice, better to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. And in fact, this is where the Rashba takes, that this is what the Rashba was inspired by. He was inspired by this contradiction to arrive at his conclusion that when it's efshar, when it's possible to fulfill both, but when it's impossible in your local circumstance, that's what the Gemara means when it says better to do tzitzis with linen strings on a wool garment than to neglect the mitzvah of tzitzis altogether.
Tefillas
too? For even, the Rashba would say, even without tefillas.
Tchilas
must be wool. Yes. The tchilas
must be wool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll try for at least for one more thing to add on to the chart, and maybe if we have time we'll go for two. So Rabbi Elchanan continues onwards to suggest that there may be actual practical nafkaminas in Hilchos Tzitzis between these two sets of opinions. And he points out that the Ramban in Maseches Shabbos favorably quotes an opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, which also appears in a Tosfos in Menachos on Daf Mem Amud Beis. So let's read the version from Tosfos. Tosfos says in source number 6, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Dehocha nami ashmi'inan, de'afilu belayla, ein ba mishum kelayim. Tzitzis is docha kelayim. But tzitzis is only a mitzvah by day. So does that mean that a person who's wearing a linen garment with tcheles must take that garment off at shkia? Says Rabbeinu Tam, no. No. Because tzitzis is docha kelayim. And that applies whether it's the Zman of Tzitzis, the daytime, or whether it's not the Zman of Tzitzis, nighttime. Yeah, that's very complicated. Right? The Rambam and the Rosh is going with Rabbi Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that if it's a daytime clothing, it's obligated in Tzitzis even at night. If it's nighttime clothing, it's potter from Tzitzis even right by day. But nonetheless, right, Rabbeinu Tam still seems to feel that you need this idea of Aseh Docha Lo Saseh. He feels it's not the same mitzvah at night as it is by day. At the Beis Yosef says there's a safek. According to one reading of Rabbeinu Tam, you wouldn't make a bracha on tzitzis if you put it on at night. But it's a daytime type of clothing. So somehow it's the Rabbeinu Tam has a combination. Daytime clothing, right, by daytime is the ideal tzitzis. Daytime clothing at night, in some ways you are in fulfillment, in some ways you're not in fulfillment. So you may have thought, right, that because in some ways you're not in fulfillment of tzitzis, that at least if your tzitzis are kelayim, you shouldn't wear it at night. Says Rabbeinu Tam, no, you're more in fulfillment than not in fulfillment. Right? You're fulfilling more than you're not fulfilling, and that's why, right, that's why, or that reveals to us.
Even though there's no requirement to wear them at night.
What is he fulfilling?
He's fulfilling mitzvah tzitzis.
But there's no requirement.
Rabbeinu Tam says that there is a miktsas mitzvah if you're wearing a daytime clothing at night to put tzitzis on it. So now again, what the nature of that miktsas mitzvah is, right, is of great concern to many achronim and to poskim. Right? The Beis Yosef asks, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if I'm putting on daytime clothing at night, should I make a bracha of al mitzvah tzitzis or not? Says the Beis Yosef, it depends. Right? If there's more mitzvah than rishus, then you should make a bracha. If there's more rishus than mitzvah, then you shouldn't make a bracha. Says the Beis Yosef, but look, Rabbeinu Tam says that there's no iser of kelayim. So that must mean that there's more mitzvah here than rishus. So you should make a bracha. That's Rabbeinu Tam. The Beis Yosef said, if we weren't worried about the Rambam, we would make a bracha of al mitzvah tzitzis when we wore tzitzis at night. Right? And as a matter of fact, right, there were early Ashkenazi Rishonim who were so impressed by Rabbeinu Tam's stature and by his proof, perhaps they weren't familiar with the Rambam's opinion at the time, that they used to make an al mitzvah tzitzis or a lehisatif bat tzitzis when they put on tzitzis at night. When was that? You know,
on Yom Kippur.
We try our best to put on tzitzis by daytime so that we shouldn't have that uncertainty, but these Rishonim felt no problem. They put on their talis at night. They made an al mitzvah tzitzis because they were so convinced by Rabbeinu Tam. Be that as it may, this is not the only case where Rabbeinu Tam says that there isn't, that even absent a bona fide, complete mitzvah of tzitzis, that there still is a heter, right, to wear kelayim. Rabbeinu Tam continues and says, third line, first word, v'teda. And I'll bring you another proof. Daminan lekaman, the Gemara says later on, talis she'ula, a talis that you borrowed, kol lamed yom, petura min tzitzis. For the first 30 days, you don't need to put tzitzis on it, but mikan ve'elach, after 30 days, chayeves, you have to put on tzitzis. And when we say you have to put on tzitzis, we mean that you have to put on tcheles, you have to put on lavan. And that means even if your talis that you borrowed is linen, and you're putting on tcheles, afilu shel kelayim, af agav, says Rabbeinu Tam, depatur midyoraisa. Talis she'ula, after 30 days, midrabanan, you need to put on tzitzis. So how can the rabbis tell us to put on some tcheles onto a linen talis? Midiraisa your potter. It's not your talis. Someone else's talis. The Rabbanon came along and told me to transgress the diraisa iser of kelayim in order to fulfill the Rabbanon mitzvah of tzitzis. That's very unusual. Rabbanon don't usually tell us to transgress the diraisas in order to fulfill the Rabbanons. Rabbi Natam says, there's no distinction. Since with respect to the person to whom the talis belongs, there is no iser of kelayim. Therefore, even to people to whom the talis does not belong, there's also no iser of kelayim. And he says, let's say that it's the winter time and it's very, very cold, and the heat is not working so well, and you're using up all of your blankets. Right, and Shabbos afternoon, your wife is taking a nap, and she still can't fall asleep because it's so cold. So you say, you know what? I'll take out my talis and I'll put it on top. That's gonna do the extra. There was one time that this happened to me. You wouldn't think, but I was driving to the chasana of a friend of mine in Toronto, and we had like 10 or 12 friends, and we all rented a van, and we got up at 5 in the morning, and we drove from New York to Toronto. We got there just in time for the chasana, like 4 or 5 in the afternoon. We stayed at the chasana till 11 o'clock at night, and then we drove through the night, right, taking turns getting back. Now, the driver of the van, and I took my turn first. I was the first driver because I knew that, you know, after waking up at 5 in the morning, I would not be, you know, fit for one of the later shifts. So my plan was that I'll drive first, and I'll dance at the chasen, and I'll sleep on the way back. But on the way back, the driver of the van had the air conditioner on at full blast because he was worried that he would fall asleep unless he was shivering in his shoes. And so I couldn't fall asleep either because I was shivering in my shoes. So, but I hadn't brought along a big blanket, but what I had brought along was my talus to daven. And so I actually did that one instance. I used the talus to keep him anyhow. So basically... Yes.
You can do the
shot,
the
talus. It's a prayer. Anyhow, so let's say that it's a daytime and you're putting the talus on in order to stay warm, but it's not you, right? It's a woman who's putting the talus on to stay warm. So if that talus has tchilas in it, so there's a potential transgression of kilayim, but again, says Rabbi Nutam, that we interpret the permission of kilayim in tzitzis in a very expansive manner, so that any beged, right, which is a mitzvah object, a tzitzis mitzvah object, says Rabbeinu Tam, is exempt from the iser kilayim. Rabbi Elchanan says, and this I think needs a little bit more thought, but I'll leave you, right, with the thinking to do for the rest of the day. Rabbi Elchanan says that this question, right, of, right, we'll call it women borrowed, right, or night, says Rabbi Chanan, that this aligns with everything that we've seen previously as well. Namely, that if you understand that the asay is docha, right, the lo tasay, logically, right, so then we'll interpret the permission, right, so that we'll say, even if there are other alternatives, even if it's efshar l'kayim shneim in some sense of the word, right? But nonetheless, we still will interpret the halachos broadly, even though efshar l'kayim shneim, there still is sometimes license for putting kilayim onto a tzitzis garment. So then it will be okay. But if you understand that the lo tasei is more chamor, that you need a gzeiras hakasov, and that the gzeiras hakasov tells me only when the lo tasei poses a permanent, eternal obstacle to the fulfillment of that say, that's the only case when you'll be allowed to push aside the lo tasei to fulfill that say. But in a case, for instance, where you have white linen strings and a wool garment, right, since it's possible to have white wool strings on the wool garment that you can't put on tzitzis, since there's a machlokes, and we paskin like Reish Lakish, who says efshar l'kayim shneim, so you never have a heter. So says Rebbe Elchanan, perhaps you would also not be allowed, a woman would not be allowed to wear a linen talis with techeles. A person who borrowed a talis would not be allowed to wear it, a linen talis with techeles. Perhaps a person would not be allowed to wear a lintalis with techeles at night, right? Because we understand it very, very narrowly. Absent the gzeiras hakasov, there is no heter for pushing aside kilayim in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis.